Welcome back. Happy birthday, Little Richard. And now we're about to have a conversation I've been looking forward to here with Rahina Malik. She's an award-winning playwright, actress, and solo performance artist. She was born and raised in London. And she has this one-woman play called Unveiled, which sees the complexity of the Islamic world through the worlds of five different women, characters that she's developed. She's bringing it here to the theater project. And Rahina, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hi, thank you so much.
I got to try to figure out how I can rearrange my weekend to come see this play.
So, well, we're doing two student shows on Monday, 10 a.m. and noon, so I don't know if you're free at that time.
If I can't make it this weekend, maybe I'll have to try the noon one on Monday, but because we're on the air till 11. Well, let's talk about this. Your heritage, you're raised in Britain, South Asian heritage, yeah. And a Muslim woman, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
And an actress, a trained actress.
So, and my focus is solo art, solo performance, one-woman plays.
And you developed this one-woman play, which is, I love the style of acting and creating these characters. You created these five characters. Let me take a step back. I want to hear about the five characters you created, all five of them, and what they represent. But talk about why you created this production in the first place.
I was born and raised Muslim, and after 9/11, everything changed, and I just have been so disturbed and frightened with the hate towards Muslims, and I feel that theater is a really powerful way to respond to hatred. So I wrote the play kind of as a chance for people to hear from a Muslim woman who actually wears the veil. Because a lot of the hatred towards Muslims, you hear people saying Muslim women are oppressed and they're all terrorists, and it's just crazy. So I just felt like by creating the play, people would have a chance to come into the theater. And the cool thing about the theater is, as an audience member, you come and you have 100% permission to judge what you see on stage. And you're allowed to do that as an audience member. And I wanted people to just come in, relax, take it all in, and then after the show ends and I take my bow, it's not over. In some ways, it really just begins, because then we have the post-show discussion. Mm. And it's been really powerful. It's been a chance for people to ask questions, to respond, because right now, the reality is the images people see about Muslims on our media is so ugly, and it's hard for me to see that because I've been Muslim my whole life, and I love my religion, and I wouldn't be a Muslim if my religion represented hate and violence. So it's really frightening, and I just think that a lot of people don't realize that we're talking millions of dollars are being pumped into these foundations that support and empower organizations that focus on Muslim hate in America. Recently, there was the Center for American Progress. I hope people get a chance to Google them, because they revealed this report that really showed how many foundations are giving millions of dollars. The report showed $42 million to empower organizations that focus on anti-Muslim hate. And the reality is, who pays? Do terrorists pay from all the work that these anti-Muslim hate groups do? It's never extremist Muslims that pay. It's never the terrorists that pay. It's innocent men and women. It's a Sikh man walking down the street in his turban that will pay. It's a Muslim cab driver who was stabbed because the person who stabbed him said, "Are you a Muslim?" And he answered, "Yes." It's a Hindu man pushed onto the New York City tracks by a woman who said she did it because she hated Muslims and Hindus because of 9/11. It's innocent people that end up paying.
And I think that's why this kind of play you're doing is important, because you have this spectrum of women that express their for want of a better term, there probably isn't a word like this, maybe I'm making it up, their Muslimness in different ways from different perspectives. So let's talk about these characters you developed. And maybe you can even give us a little piece of the character if you feel like it.
Okay.
One's the Pakistani seamstress.
The Pakistani seamstress is, her name is Maryam, and she tells a story about how her life changed at this moment at her best friend's wedding. A little bit after 9/11, this incident happens at the banquet hall, and it was based on something that actually happened to me. So when I started writing Unveiled, I took it from a personal story of something that happened to me at my best friend's wedding, where the venue had two weddings taking place, our Pakistani wedding and an American wedding. And a guest from the American wedding saw me in my veil and had a problem. And I don't want to give it away, but an incident happened, a pretty ugly incident. And when I started to write the play, I started from a personal place and I started with that character. But I created Maryam because it was so much easier for me to tell that story in the shoes of this created woman that I made rather than me as Rohina telling it. So that's the first story. Then we meet Noor, who's from, her family's from Morocco. She's a lawyer, and she tells the story of how she became a lawyer. And I think the second story is probably the most difficult in the whole play because it deals with a very frightening hate crime. And the reason I wanted to touch upon that is because of, like I said before, the rise in hate crimes that don't just impact the Muslim community, but impact Hindus and Sikhs and anyone who's different or appears different to these people who think they know what Islam is and know what Muslims is, and then they end up killing someone who's often not even a Muslim, or maybe they are a Muslim. But so the second story is a pretty difficult one. Then the third story is Inez. She's a Southern Black woman in Dallas, and she tells the story of on 9/11 taking off her 9/11. She took off her veil, and it was important for me to share that story because right away when the on 9/11 incidents started happening to people, and it was a very frightening day, and some women did not feel safe wearing their veil, because we had heard that people were getting attacked. And so she shares that story about making that decision and how it was really difficult for her. The fourth woman is Shabana, and she's a rapper. She's from West London, and she's a lot of fun. I think her story is more comical, but she deals with some issues that I wanted to touch upon in the issue of skin color and within a lot of the communities, not just Muslim communities. But there's this idea that white is beautiful and the darker you are, the uglier you are. And a lot of it stems from colonialism. It's amazing whenever I perform that because I'll have audience members from the African-American community or Latinas come up to me and say, this is a problem in my community and let me tell you my story. So it's been really powerful bringing that up. Because the play does deal with Islamophobia, it does deal with anti-Muslim hate, but it also deals with other issues that I've put into the play that have had amazing conversations. So the last woman is Layla. She's a Middle Eastern woman, and she shares the story that was pretty much based kind of on the mob that was approaching the Bridgeview, Illinois mosque on 9/11. A huge group of people, this mob was just heading towards the mosque, and the police were holding them back, and it was so frightening. I'll never forget, and so that story was based on that. And it also, Layla's story talks about her brother who lives in New York and died in the Twin Towers. And I wanted to talk about that because so often people forget that so many Muslim families lost loved ones in the Twin Towers.
Right.
People who worked there and people who responded. That's another thing. There was this campaign by CARE, a Muslim organization, showing how Muslims not only were impacted by 9/11, but responded to 9/11, whether they were doctors, paramedics, New York City firefighters. People need to hear these stories because, you know, we just don't hear it. We just don't hear it. One thing that audiences often say to me is, why, when something bad happens and a Muslim's involved, why doesn't the Muslim community denounce it? And the reality is, every Muslim organization will denounce it and speak out and say, this is wrong, this is not Islam. Does it get played on our news media?
No.
No. So it's like, it's not only the problem of what people are seeing about Muslims, but also what they're not seeing.
And, you know, it's interesting to me that you chose these five characters, and I'm curious that about how you developed these. Did you actually go and go to other Muslim communities around the country where these women might have come from to kind of find them? How did you do this?
What I did was, just being a part of the Chicago Muslim community, is you see that diversity. You see black Muslims and
right.
so many, and Arab Muslims and South Asian Muslims. And then I grew up in London, so Shabana, who's a Londoner, that was very easy for me to write.
Right.
And I wanted to show the diversity amongst them, that, yes, you'll find a Muslim woman who's a rapper who wears the veil. The interesting thing about the veil is that's like one subject that people just seem to be so obsessed about. And Shabana says, one of her lines in the play is, the veil is a symbol of controversy, except when it's on a nun's head. And because really, when we think of a nun in her habit,
yeah.
she looks exactly like a Muslim woman. The only thing that's showing is her face and her hands. But we have this crazy double standard where it's for a Muslim woman who's dressed that way, she's oppressed. But a nun, oh, well, she's dedicated to her religion. She's modest. It's modesty when a nun is dressed like that, but a Muslim woman is oppressed. So I wanted to bring up that double standard. And a lot of crazy double standards we have. When someone like Timothy McVeigh commits terrorism, he was raised in a Catholic home. We don't jump to the assumption all Catholics are violent, every believer in Christ is violent. But we have that double standard that when the culprit is a Muslim, it's all of them. It's the entire religion that's the problem, and they should all be blamed. We didn't racially profile white men whenever McVeigh or any white guy does something. But let it be a Muslim, and then the conversation's different. We need to racially profile all brown people or all people who look Arab or South Asian. So there are really dangerous double standards, and I think that one of my goals in writing the play was to address them so that we can talk about it. I really believe theater is dialogue. My director at the 16th Street Theater, where the play premiered in Chicago, would always say that. Her name is Anne Filmer. She says, theater is dialogue. And she's right, and I really experienced that after I would perform the show. Because one night we didn't have a post-show discussion. It was a Sunday, and people were just supposed to go home. Nobody got up from their seats. They were like, we're not leaving. We want to talk. And that's when I realized the post-show discussion has got to be a part of the play.
I think in plays like this, I think post-show discussions are important in theater anyways, but because I think we have to keep theater alive, and that's one of the ways to keep it alive. But people want to talk about what they've seen, especially if there are plays, whether they're one-act plays or plays with multiple characters that have substance. People want to wrestle with what they've seen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that... go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, one of the things in my play is tea. I framed the play around the serving of tea. Each of the women in the play
right.
has a tea that she serves. So one of the things at the 16th Street Theater that they did is, and another playwright had said it, you got to have the tea there. And I thought, wow, you know, theater brings people together, but so does tea. So we literally contacted Todd and Holland Tea Company, and they were so generous. They provided all the teas that are mentioned in my play. Audiences would sip them, taste them, and come in, and then they had no idea what the play was about, and then they would see and say, oh my God, I just drank that. And it was really beautiful because after the show, my director would say, go get more tea and come in, let's have a discussion. And it was just, it was really beautiful because, I don't know, it's just powerful.
We have only a few minutes left, and I want to get this one caller in. Idris is calling in. As an African-American Muslim woman, let me have a quick comment from her. We have to end the show in like 2 minutes here.
Okay.
Idris, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Mark.
Man, excuse me, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I appreciate you too, brother. Listen, I just wanted to comment on what the sister was talking about as far as what we as people, as Muslims here in America go through. I'm an African-American black man. I've been a Muslim since 1961. And probably after 9/11, we started getting a lot of reactions from people in the street. I'm a merchant, a vendor, and I do a lot of traveling around in the street. And a lot of what I hear comes from people who have real serious misconceptions about Islam, about Muslims, about how we think, what we feel. And I'd just like to say to the sister that I applaud what you're doing, sister. That's a good thing that you're doing to let people know that we are human beings. We don't have, you know, those mores that some people think that Muslims have. It's particularly difficult for me as a black man because I've had people say to me, listen, it was tough enough when we was in the civil rights movement. Now you got this Islam thing going. And
Inez says that in my play. Inez is the African American Southerner, and she's like, you know, when I when she first, her grandmother said to him, "You were born with two strikes against you. You're black and you're female." And when I told my grandma I converted to Islam, she said, "Strike three."
And on that note, we have to end. This is, I want to encourage everyone. Thank you so much for the colleges. And Rahina Malik will be performing her critically acclaimed one-woman play, Unveiled, this weekend at the Theater Project, the Baltimore Theater Project, December 6th through December the 8th. For more information, go to www.theaterproject.org. You can also go to steinershow.org and find out the information right there. Thank you so much for joining us today, Rahina. Look forward to meeting you when you're in Baltimore. Glad you're coming back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rahina Malik. I want to thank you all for listening and being part of this program today, reminding you tonight that December 5th, WEA is celebrating jazz and community at Phase 10 Restaurant and Lounge. Be there tonight at 8 p.m. You can go to call 410-462-2010 or go to phase10.com for more information. Don't want to miss it. It's also Carla Will's birthday. There's lots happening there tonight, so get over there. Thank you all for being part of the show today. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Mark Gunnery and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andre Melton. To hear this show again, find information about what we've been talking about on the air, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download all of our podcasts on iTunes. We're going out with more Little Richard, the father of rock and roll. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.